This is the Ag Queen Podcast. This podcast explores the agriculture industry with the movers and shakers of those shaping it. Here's your host, Lori Boyer.
Greg Rooley is joining me here today. He is the executive director of the National Sorghum Producers, and I've been checking in with Greg when we can just get an idea of what's going on with the sorghum industry and the ag industry in general. And I know that you are talking to me from a water meeting. I don't think it matters what crop we're talking about. There's always something that is of concern when we say the word water, and that goes for NSP as well, right?
It certainly is, Lori. Good morning, and it's great to reconnect with you and have an opportunity to get caught up on some of the policy activities that sorghum is involved in here at the state level and then nationally as well.
Where should we begin today with some of those things that you are working on?
Well, you know, we got a little bit of an update on the farm bill. So let's go there. And then we can kind of wrap up with some of the more local discussions that are going on. And, you know, when you're in the middle of drought conditions like we are here in the High Plains, water is always the first subject matter that comes up. So why don't we kick off around the farm bill?
I think that's a great idea.
Last week had a chance to be in Washington, D.C. For a few days. While we were there in town, we were able to meet with Senator Bozeman's staff. Senator Bozeman is the ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee. He introduced a framework that he's supportive of, and many of the Republicans in the Senate are supportive of, for a farm bill rewrite in many respects. Now, understand the framework is not legislative language. It's kind of broad policy ideas. And as we review that, as Senator Bozeman and his staff presented that, in many ways, it mirrors the bill passed by the House Ag Committee in late May. And that was exactly what Senator Bozeman had said his goal was from the beginning, was to bring an alternative approach on the Senate side that more closely mirrored the bill passed by the House Ag Committee. So in that respect, you know, it's been fairly well received by, you know, kind of ag groups across the board. There's still details for us to go through, and probably the classic example of that would be with regard to reference price changes, reference price increases. The framework mentioned a 15% average reference price increase across the commodities, but it doesn't get specific with each commodity in terms of what that reference price change might be. We anticipate the Ag Committee, the Senate Ag Committee, to begin to work through the framework and more details begin. You know, we're hopeful that discussions will occur between the Democrats and the Republicans, where they would begin to coalesce around a farm bill plan that ultimately could be debated and passed out of the Senate Ag Committee, which is really the next step in this process, is to get a bill out of the Senate Ag Committee. And then each bill could go to its respective floor for debate, discussion, and then ultimately conferenced out into final farm bill language that we would have in place. That end goal is a ways away. Right now, there's just a lot of discussion that has to occur between the Senate Republicans and Senate Democrats to find common opinion on those policy changes that are important and that could be agreed upon by both parties.
Is there anything in either version of the Farm Bill, the House or the Senate, that's been released that NSP doesn't feel is good for the industry, or anything you're pushing back on?
Well, there's three versions of legislation at play. We're very supportive of the House Ag Committee's bill, the bill that's passed out of the Ag Committee. And because Senator Bozeman's framework is very similar to that, we have offered our support for those general principles that he has offered as his framework. We've met with the Senate Democratic staff. We have some real challenges there with the approach that's been taken. And I think a lot of other commodities are in the same boat, because there's a distinct need for updating reference prices to be reflective of current market conditions and to be reflective of the costs that farmers face today, whether that's seed, fertilizer, land costs, et cetera. All those contribute to a higher break-even price than what the current reference price would suggest. And that reference price is from 10 years ago. And so there's a definite need, kind of a cost of living adjustment, if you will, that needs to be made to that reference price.
And then what about the other versions?
The other two versions, the Senate framework from Senator Bozeman and the House Ag Committee passed bill are very similar. Right. We're waiting on the specifics of the reference price increase in the Senate bill. And we've been supportive of that issue in the House passed legislation.
Beyond the farm bill, any comments on where we're at with the ag appropriations bill or where we're not with it?
Yeah, so the ag appropriations bill was passed out of committee and is awaiting further consideration in the House. We're waiting on the report language to be filed. That's really where the details occur in that appropriations measure, and we can kind of understand where the House ag priorities are. You know, generally the House committee, the appropriations committee, has been looking at ways to cut costs and to reduce federal spending as they've been moving these appropriations bills forward. So obviously we've got to take a hard look at what comes out of the committee to make sure that any priorities that sorghum has included, which are principally around improving genetic performance, improving human nutrition opportunities related to sorghum, et cetera, you know, we're going to want to take a hard look at any potential cuts in those programs as that bill moves through the House process. Appropriations bills begin in the House, then move to the Senate, and then ultimately conference out. So, you know, there's work to do over the next several months around appropriations. I think shift gears a bit to a subject we've talked about a lot in the past, Lori, and that is the 45Z biofuels tax credit that was part of the Inflation Reduction Act. There's a interagency committee that is working to write the rules around that. That interagency committee includes the Departments of Agriculture and Energy. It includes the Environmental Protection Agency, and it includes the Department of Treasury. So it's an interesting interagency group that's working on writing rules. They are continuing to move forward, albeit it feels really slowly. We anticipate a request for information coming out of that interagency group as early as this week that will allow sorghum to weigh in on our priorities for federal projects that would support 45Z. Those requests will be everything from including or updating the GREET model that's used to determine those carbon intensity scores, those credits that will be accrued by the biofuels makers, to a reasonable approach to agricultural practices that can be implemented on the ground that will result in a reduction in carbon emissions. It's a wide-ranging process, but it's one that finally is beginning to feel like we're going to make some forward steps in that space over the next weeks or so. The administration remains committed to having these rules finalized, or at least propose rules as far as they can by the end of the year. That's really important because those tax credits begin to take effect with ethanol that's produced or biofuels that are produced beginning January 1st, 2025. So we remain actively engaged in that 45Z process as a representative of our farmers and the sorghum crop that they produce, which is a critical component to biofuels production here in the U.S., and especially the High Plains.
Check, check. Greg, are there any specifics in that GREET model that NSP wants changed?
Well, probably at the top of that list would be a pathway dedicated to sorghum. Right now, the pathways for sorghum kind of play off of the pathway that exists for corn. And we know that there are different production practices that are implemented in sorghum than they are in corn. And we believe that those unique practices or those practices that are related to sorghum will have a greater impact on carbon reductions or reducing that carbon intensity than they would necessarily in a corn crop. So finding those opportunities to have a specific pathway for sorghum, regionality, recognizing that the High Plains is not like the I states when it comes to producing a crop. And we have to take measures to preserve soil moisture, like covers and cover crops to the extent that those are feasible, like reducing or eliminating tillage. All of those have a positive impact on that carbon intensity score, yet they're not necessarily reflected in the GREET model because it lacks that regionality that would be so important to helping create that differentiation.
Do you think it's likely that will happen? You'll get that pathway?
I think we will. The question is you know, staring at the clock or the calendar. It's the middle of June, but the end of the year will be here before we know it. And so, you know, making sure that there's adequate time for those changes to be made is really what challenges that we have to address. On sorghum's behalf, the industry's done a tremendous job of putting research together to help kind of form this path for making these updates. But it's just a matter then of the federal government adopting that data, pulling it into their system, making the necessary changes, and then issuing that as a new updated version of the GREET model.
Greg, shifting off of policy here, are your farmers experiencing some of these detrimental weather conditions that we've been hearing about?
You know, there sure has been, and it's a wide variety of challenges that they're facing. Texas producers, and the sorghum crop is early in a lot of areas. Here in my neck of the woods, there's planters rolling this week, last week, and this week, getting sorghum in the ground. There have been hail storms that have been damaging to crops. We know that the cotton folks in West Texas, Texas Panhandle, have had some real significant impacts from hail. Thank goodness we are beginning to see some moisture fall here in our corner of, you know, southwest corner of Kansas, which has really increased farmers' interest in double crop, getting a crop in behind the wheat crop that they're harvesting now. Wheat yields seem kind of variable, but maybe some pleasant surprises out there in terms of a crop that got moisture at a time when it really needed it and was able to help and, you know, encourage grain fill in that wheat crop and maybe surprise some growers there. But yeah, we've seen some impacts from severe weather. We're so thankful for the moisture that we've been able to receive, and just, you know, look forward to continuing that. It's another hot, dry, windy day in southwest Kansas, so we're getting another one of those tough days where a lot of the moisture is drawn out of the ground and leaves with the wind as it heads north. And so hopeful for some mitigation here. There's rain in the forecast, and we're looking forward to that as well.
Once again, my guest here today, National Sorghum Producers Executive Director, Greg Ruley.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Ag Queen Podcast with your host, Lori Boyer.